That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
One, two, tres, cuatro.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we are sharing our favorite albums of 2023 so far. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. Let's jump in.
Let us do that, Greg. The mid-year favorites are almost as important as the year-end favorites. There's a lot of music coming out, and people are busy, and they might have missed some of this, and they shouldn't have.
Exactly right. I'm sure there's everybody's going to have a list after the show with their own opinions, and we would love to hear them both via voicemail or posting on our social media. We appreciate all the input from our listeners as well. You know, it should be pointed out, Jim, we've got our top 10 list, which, by the way, the complete list
the
will
complete
be posted
list, we're
on
starting
the website,
at number right? six each. Yes.
Right. And we're not going to get a chance to go through all of them. You and I both have probably 20 or 30 albums at least that were in consideration for this top 10. It's fluid. This may not be the same list we have at the end of the year. For now, these are the records that are really resonating with us the most. But it is by no means our way of saying, oh, yeah, man, there's no other records that are better than these.
No, we know what
we're talking about. We are merely, you know, listing the records that we... that are our favorites, personally.
Yeah, it
might have
come out the first week of January. Yeah. We're still excited. We're more excited than ever to go back and listen to it again.
So, I'm not concerned about whether or not everybody else agrees or disagrees. It's just these are my favorites, and I hope you like them too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with my number six record. We're going to go back from six to one in this show in terms of highlighting the releases. A record by Wesley Joseph that I highlighted on the show earlier in the year. That really holds up. I went back and listened to all of these records just to make sure, hey, do I still really like these things that I thought I did back then? And Wesley Joseph's Glowin' really holds up for me. His second album, he's a UK filmmaker turned recording artist, self-released debut in 2021 with a really cool single, Ghost, and that I really loved from that year. And it got him signed to Secretly Canadian, a pretty good label, by the way, right? He sings and raps, production, keys, strings, backing vocals is kind of a textural and rhythmic bed. So that's him singing, providing this kind of layered approach to the instrumentation, which I really like. His orchestrations and arrangements suggest that he's still making movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The UK filmmaker can't get that out of his system because he's making oral movies now, too. Just with the way the production is working. These compositions evoke a kind of emotional scenery for me that allow him to play various characters with his vocals. The flexibility that he has as a vocalist allows him to do that. Track I want to play from the record, Cold Summer, from Wesley Joseph's Glowin' on Sound Opinions. Go vigilante, lift up the cloak, pick show me candy, before I'm landing. Semantic. We on the road like somebody planned it, like somebody planned it, but nobody knows.
Pray for me, no. Are you gonna stay for me, no? Are you gonna stay till the day so soon? Yeah. Are you gonna wait for me, no? Are you gonna stay for me, no? Are you gonna wait till the day like go? Pray for me, no. Are you gonna stay for me?
That is Cold Summer from Wesley Joseph. Glowing is my top number six album of the year so far. Jim, what are you going to start us off with?
I'm starting at number six too, Greg, and I'm going to talk about an artist and a record that we haven't mentioned yet on Sound Opinions. I considered it for a buried treasure and then said, oh no, it's too good. We should do a full review. Hadn't gotten around to it. Anyway, the debut album from Avalon Emerson and the Charm, self-titled. Avalon Emerson is not new to the music world. She is a much acclaimed electronic producer and DJ. Born in San Francisco, raised in Arizona, huge, huge in Berlin. Next time I see Katie Kott, our social media consultant, I got to ask her because she was working for a while in Germany. Avalon Emerson is a goddess on the German techno electronic dance scene. What she is doing on this debut album as The Charm. The Charm is essentially her working with her wife and two good friends. And it's mostly her. She is singing. And you get a sense of this cutting-edge electronic dance music with some real shoegaze touchstones. Slow Dive, I hear a lot of Slow Dive. I hear a lot of Cocteau Twins in what is happening. Saint Etienne, remember them? Wonderful stuff, but also more than a little bit of Robin, you know, a much beloved electro-pop star. You know, it is a fun album. It is a deep album at the same time. It's surprising because we wouldn't have expected this from an electronic artist who's pretty much behind the scenes rather than being a pop diva. I only noticed as I was reviewing my notes today for the third or fourth time about these six I'm going to talk about, I got a lot of albums about people growing into adulthood and dealing with problems that you may not have to face when you're 20, but when you're 30 or 40, in some of these cases of these artists, or even 50, you know, you are dealing with how do I move forward in life still? How do I not die before I get old? How do I stay alive and live well? I'm going to play the opening track from Avalon Emerson. You know, it's hard to tell. Is the album called End the Charm, or is it Avalon Emerson End the Charm? Full of mystery, Greg. The song is mysterious in a great way. Sandrail Silhouette.
Silhouette on a sandrail. 1200cc drown it all out. Octones and oasis. More ancient than the rocks between us.
Sandrail Silhouette from Avalon Emerson and the Charm.
Glad you liked that one, Jim. I had it as a buried treasure back in February.
You did?
I did.
How did I know?
And I played that exact same track.
I should listen to you more.
Well, you know, or maybe you did, and it was a subliminal influence on your selection.
That could have been.
But that's a great record.
Well, have you gone through the whole album? Do you like it as much as me?
Yeah. It's a great. It was definitely one of the ones I was considering for my own top 10.
Very good.
So very good choice, Mr. Dear Goddess. Tombstones in Their Eyes is the number five record on my list. I have enjoyed this band's music. I think it's about time they got some more recognition. This is their sixth studio album, Sea of Sorrow.
Now, I do remember you talking about this one.
Yes, this was fairly recently. They've had a sort of a revolving door of lineups over the years, but John Traynor seems to be the core member here, the main guy in the group. Guitar, bass, vocals, keyboard, songwriter, basically the core of the band. And basically he's chronicling his struggles with depression and drug abuse. And again, that sounds like a downer, but I find this music very therapeutic in a lot of ways. There's light at the end of this very dark hole that he's dug for himself, the pain and isolation. He's confronting it and coming out and saying, I'm still here. Here's a track called Life, which I think kind of sums it up. Tombstones in Their Eyes, Sea of Sorrow is the album. I'm sorry.
There's a special I'm
That is Life from Tombstones in Their Eyes. The number 5 album is Sea of Sorrow on my top 10 list.
I'm at 5 as well, Greg. I'm going with Margot Price's latest, Strays.
Yeah.
We talked to Margot on the show. It is always a wonderful conversation. Such a joyful and brilliant woman, singer-songwriter, talking about her fourth studio album, made in conjunction with her partner, her husband, again. You know, and coming on the heels of a great autobiography, too, the insight that she has into music making and being a woman in 2023. You know, one of the things I love about this album is the personal is political. Political is personal, ultimately, everywhere. You know, the song Lydia, about a woman sitting in an abortion clinic, about to undergo this procedure that had to be the most one of the most difficult decisions of her life, right? And you know, we do not often see portraits of just the angst and the difficult decision having been made, and how people cannot have empathy for that, no matter where they fall on the political spectrum, I will never understand. I know Lydia. You know, Margot makes us know Lydia. So, you know, I always wonder sometimes, every once in a while I hear from an old friend, like, you know, from the Hideout kind of scene, you know, Jim, you used to hate old country. No, I didn't hate old country. I wanted it to be more ambitious. But I know one of the reasons why I love Strays so much. Margot wrote it heavily under the influence of mushrooms and having psychedelic experiences, and the amount of like acid rock guitar and psychedelic production flourishes. That's how I want my old country, with a bit of either a lot of fuzz box, and I got an album like that coming up later, or, you know, psych, man. Bring the psych. Here is a track. I'm going to play Lydia. From Margot Price, from her fourth album, Strays.
The cars out on the LA freeway, they look like red light Christmas lights strung out on a chain. The ex-Virgin Mary of 49th Street has a pocket full of pills. She sold herself for synthetic heroin and started sleeping with a man twice her age. Really, though, it was anything but sleeping.
Margot Price, the album is called Strays. That was the track, Lydia. We first met her, I guess some people will always think of her, Greg, as the Midwest farmer's daughter. She is more a child of the world now and has a lot to say.
Oh, yeah. Seen her in live a bunch of times, and man, she's blown out the boundaries on what, you know, a country artist can do. I don't think you can categorize her that way anymore. When we return, we're going to share some more of our favorite albums of 2023 so far on Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week we are revealing our best albums of 2023 so far, or another way to look at it, our very favorites, the ones we can't stop listening to. And Greg, you are up next. What's at number 4? for you.
Number four album of the year so far, Jim, for me, is Duran Jones's Wait Till I Get Over. I've talked about this record before on the show. He was a longtime leader of the Indiana band The Indications. I saw them a ton on the festival circuit. You know, I thought it was terrific stuff in a retro vein. The material sometimes could feel like it was arm's distance for these guys, though. A respectful tribute rather than a reinvention of this music. And I love that kind of music, so it did connect. But this record is different, and that's why it makes my top 10. Duran Jones' first solo record. It cuts closer to the bone. It's about where Jones grew up in Hillaryville, Louisiana. I mean, you look at some of these tracks here. 8-minute song called Letters to My 17-Year-Old Self. Duran has been very open about being a black queer kid in the Deep South, as he says. You know, what was that experience like? What did it feel like to grow up in his community, in his faith, deeply religious family, with that sort of life experience? And this record takes it head on. He hadn't been really able to do that in The Indications before. Now it is full on Duran Jones. Here is a story of my life. Here's a track called I Want You, which addresses some of what I've just talked about in a very direct fashion. Duran Jones's Wait Till I Get Over is the name of the record on SoundCloud.
Baby, baby, I want you.
That is I Want You from Duran Jones, by number four record of the year so far, Wait Till I Get Over.
I am at number four too, Greg, and I'm going with the latest from Bully. Lucky For You is the name of the album. Bully is really a songwriter, vocalist, guitarist, Alicia Bonanno. At times there have been band members who come and go, right? I first discovered Alicia in Texas at South by Southwest way back in 2015. She was a guest on the show, episode 510.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, several albums have followed since. Now we have the fourth, Lucky For You. I remain hugely enamored of Alicia Bonanno and Bully. I think at first some people were like, oh yeah, 90s revival, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, grunge, loud, soft, melodic, aggressive guitar. Well, that's also the entire 60 years so far of rock and roll, or much of it. I don't think it's retro in any way, and I think on this album, Alicia is digging deeper into some very personal issues that she hasn't talked about before. I mean, or sometimes it was just so loud and angry you didn't know what she was screaming about. And that's great! Bring it! I love it! Okay. Her dog died. And, you know, I am not a pet person. And sometimes not necessarily share the empathy as I should when someone, I mean, it's part of your family passing. And her dog Mezzi died, and she dives into her loss there, but also what is grief? What is the nature of grief? And you are not really alive, whoever is listening to this music, if you have not been feeling grief for the many, many, many losses in COVID times and other tragedies that we have been living through. These are difficult times to live through. And then those snaking guitars or those roaring solos or those beautiful melodies come. You know, how does one continue in the face of loss? It's by turning it up and finding catharsis in your music or any art. But she's a great musician. She's a great songwriter. I was going to play Ms. America, but since I just played Lydia by Margo Price, Ms. America is about, you know, women in America today having lots of reasons to be very upset about taking a step back. Instead, I think I'm going to play the track Days Move Slow, because it is a fantastic song that is about grief, that is about Mezzi the dog, but is also about, I think, in many ways, life in 2023. Alicia Bonanno out with another killer album as Bully. Lucky For You, the song's Days Move Slow.
Days move slow, I'll live in the city.
Days Move Slow by Bully. What a great record.
I remember vividly them being in the studio and blowing down the doors, Jim. It was quite an experience seeing Bully in its infancy, and now here they are.
Back when we
in Jim DeRogatis' top 10. They've
still
made it.
Back when we recorded at WBEZ, you know, you can always tell it was going to be a good day when people started freaking out about how loud the band that we were recording was going to be. Now we're in, you know, my, well, I'll be honest with our, we're in my living room. I don't know how it would go over here.
Right, right. Well, for something completely different, my number three record of the year so far is Kalela's Raven. You know, these are exciting times for listeners who are into the sounds of R&B and soul.
Yeah.
And how artists are redefining it for the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
FKA Twigs, SZA, Dawn Richard. This Kalela record is right up there with the best of them. I've been listening to this record obsessively, Jim. I dare say I may have listened to this record more than any other this year.
I'm with you. You know, it was on my top 10, or maybe, I think it was at number 11. It's just underneath.
Well, there's so many aspects of this record that I love. You know, she's a very versatile, artist, a dancer and a violinist. She was a songwriter who worked with Solange and, mm-hmm. and Damon Albarn. Mm-hmm. And it took her more than a decade to find her niche because, you know, people, again, another one of those issues of where, how do we categorize her? You know, she's now in her, you know, in her late 30s, but her resilience really paid off. This record is amazing. Following up her 2017 debut, Take Me Apart, you know, mixing the styles, electronic music, jazz, gospel, slow jams, drum and bass, UK mm-hmm. garage, progressive hip hop. And yet it doesn't sound like a mess. I love it that it works as a cohesive album. That's why I listened to it so much, because it can be listened to in full rather than as a collection of singles, though a number of songs do qualify as singles. You know, I call it the underwater record.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like it was recorded underwater, and I'm not saying that as a diss. I'm saying it just has this sort of immersive quality to it. Sometimes there are a watery quality to the vocals or the instrumentation. There is even a submarine sonar blip on one of the songs. So I'm getting this whole vibe of like, we're in another world here. She's created her own little world on this record, and I love it.
You know, I'm flashing on that wonderful scene in Wes Anderson's Zizou, where they're all in the mini sub at the end, marveling at these fish that don't actually exist.
Right, exactly. It's the same kind of feel here. Here's a track called Happy Ending from Kalela's Raven on Sound Opinions. That's my number three record of the year so far, Kalela's Raven. That's a track called Happy Ending.
I do love that record too, Greg. I'm going next to a track and an artist I talked about as a buried treasure not long ago, and that was when just the single that I played, Guilty, was out. Louise Post, the full album, the new solo album from this co-founder of Veruca Salt is out now. It's called Sleepwalker. And I, you know, hey, I'm going to double, triple check myself when I choose an artist from the 90s. Mm. You and I were there in the trenches, often seeing these bands' first shows, right? And then we covered them, and it was so exciting. We covered their rise, and you get to know them, and you're like, okay, am I being nostalgic? No. Am I being, I always liked these artists as people? No. Is it just pushing my buttons? You know, I said earlier that some of these records, all of these records, in one way or another, are about becoming an adult. Louise Post, making this solo record, is talking about how as a child she was a sleepwalker. Her parents' marriage was falling apart, and sometimes she could be found, in her pajamas walking down the street at night or roaming the house. She was processing the pain of this divorce, and it stopped once the marriage ended. And now here she is in middle age, dare I say, with a daughter, you know, who's pushing mom to listen to Billie Eilish more, and no doubt Taylor Swift. And she's talking about very adult themes, about how you deal with jealousy and how you deal with cheating, how you deal with marriage, how you maintain yourself, but also give to others when you have a child, when you have a partner. I just love hearing this kind of introspection and insight. And I've always thought Louise, one of the greatest guitarists of that whole alternative explosion, which saw, you know, rock guitar thundering back in a big way. But man, she was one of the best. No two ways about it. I love this album. I think it's really strong. There's some departures here. Two slower, almost ballad songs, God I Know and What About. We get some nice synths and some production touches. And this recurring message, Don't Give Up. That's the name of the track I'm going to play. Don't Give Up by Louise Post from the solo album Sleepwalker.
So don't give up yet.
Don't Give Up by Louise Post. She has not given up, and I am glad. Greg, when we return, we're going to unveil our favorite albums of the year so far. Up there, number 2 and number 1 for both of us. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing some of our best albums of 2023 so far. I'm up next with my second pick, and that is Wednesday's Rat Saw God. An Asheville, North Carolina band, fifth album. They keep getting better and better all the time. A showcase for Carly Hartzman's songwriting from the very start, and it has sort of mushroomed into this terrific band to back up her songwriting. You know, the rootsy plus noisy part in pretty much equal measure, that just gets my, you know, that gets me going every time. You know, the way they have this sort of rootedness in traditional music and yet can bring so much noise and chaos and confrontation to it is really exciting to me. She's got this kind of warbly wobbly voice, and it can range from confiding to very scary, confrontational, you know,
yeah.
In an instant, you know, it just turns on a dime. And that lends itself to these very dramatic arrangements they have. You know, they can start off songs with this kind of back porch vibe, and it builds to this massive tsunami of guitars that just overwhelm you. Catchy melodies are buried inside that noise. I love Hartzman's lyrics, the detailed lyrics that have a, you know, I'm compared to Diane Arbus's photography before, the way she's able to sort of capture these marginalized folks she grew up around in the South and dignify them, really. I mean, she's not looking down on anybody or judging them. I think that that album title is very telling, Rat Saw God, Finding the Divine in the Worst of Places. That has resonated with me, thinking about that when I first heard this record. And I'm learning about stuff that I don't live there. I don't claim to fully understand that world, but I know a bit more about it thanks to the way she's writing about it on this record. And to boot, it's just a great sounding record. It's a great rock record. It's Wednesday's Rat Saw God. Here's a track from it called Quarry on Sound Opinions. My number two record of the year so far from Wednesday, Rat Saw God. That track is called Quarry.
I love that record too, Greg. Was that number seven on my list? At number two is Jason Isbell's new record, Weather Vanes. You know, any way you cut it, this is Isbell's year. And yeah. He's had a lot of good years in the past, ever since he launched his solo career post Drive-By Truckers. We've had him on the show a couple of times. It was wonderful to talk to him about Weather Vanes, subject of a recent documentary, mm-hmm. Running With Our Eyes Closed. You know, a fairly substantial and good role in Martin Scorsese's new Killers of the Flower Moon. Not slighting the music in any way, shape, or form. Weather Vanes, I really thought, and I told this to Jason when we chatted, Greg, I didn't think you could write a song that was better than What Have I Done to Help.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have this set where I don't know if anything's better, but everything on Weather Vanes is you know, as good.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit as good. Save the World, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rush of emotions to a father upon hearing about a new school shooting.
Mm, yeah, right.
Right? And the anger and the despair and the frustration and these many, many emotions. The whole album is like that. My mm-hmm. recurring theme, being an adult. Songs about adult relationships and love and the challenges. Dealing with a partner who has depression. What are you supposed to be doing and how do you relate? The dangers of nostalgia. Of living in the past,
mm-hmm.
you know, this mythical era where everything was always better, right? It doesn't exist. And Jason loves to deflate myths, and he loves to do it with I compared it to, prime Neil Young and Crazy Horse Cortez the Killer Cyclone of fuzz guitar. I just love that sound. I can't get enough of it, especially when the songs are not nostalgic. They're about the moment. Let's play that song I've been raving about, Save the World, by Jason Isbell, from his latest album, Weather Vanes. Jason Isbell, man, that guy is just a superstar, and deservedly so.
Yeah, I mean, the songwriting is just so high level on every record. You know, there's very few throwaway songs in that guy's catalog.
No, and it's fantastic. And Amanda Shires, his wife,
I
am a huge fan of her songwriting as well. She's on here, too. It's really a great partnership.
Yeah, it's great to see him continue the growth. Speaking of great songwriting, I'm up there with Billy Woods. I mean, I've been a huge fan of this guy for many years, and was really not aware of him when he started rapping in 90s New York City. A lot of great underground hip-hop taking place there. That's where he got his start. But we're now 12 studio albums in the career of Billy Woods, and very few throwaways there as well. His partnership with Kenny Siegel, this L.A.-based producer, has been particularly fruitful. The record the two of them made together in 2019 called Hiding Places was on my list that year, a great record. And I was wondering if they would make a follow-up, because Billy tends to, you know, move around a lot of different projects, a lot of different collaborators over the years. But lo and behold, I think he thought as highly of that record as a lot of listeners did and said, we got to do another one. And it, of course, in typical Billy Woods fashion, it doesn't sound anything like the first record.
It's right.
Hiding Places was a very claustrophobic, dark, dank, ominous record. This one's about the open road, and it feels a little bit more open than that record, a little more accessible, if I may say so. Great collaboration either way, Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel. The album thematically is focused on traveling and touring as a hip-hop artist. One, a hip-hop artist who has finally emerged out of the underground, you know, cocoon that he had been in for decades, and starting to develop a following. And, you know, typically self-deprecating, observant, incredibly sharp detail. You know, again, I mentioned my thoughts on this record as being akin to Cormac McCarthy. And Cormac McCarthy was still alive when I made that reference.
Yes.
And now
just,
Cormac
just
has left the
away,
planet.
Just died, yeah.
The great author who was, you know, and I was thinking about The Road, that 2006 post-apocalyptic novel. And I was thinking about that novel when I was first listening to that record. That novel is all about the relationship between two people on the road, the father and son.
Mm-hmm.
And this record is about Woods' relationship with New York, with the notion of hip-hop stardom, with his own motives for doing what he does. He's questioning all of it, you know, and these relationships. What do they mean now that my career has changed in this way? And he's wrestling with that in a very profound way, but also in a really funny and entertaining way as well. There's some really great comical moments. I just think he's one of the best lyricists ever to take a microphone in hip-hop or any other genre.
Mm.
And I just want to play a little bit of sound check, because please be advised, I will not be at sound check, not on your life.
You're right. No, I'm not going to waste going.
You know,
I'm going out for tapas instead. I love that.
You know, he's playing that spoiled rock star, but then he's saying every victory pyrrhic, every live show, forget the lyric. You know, he's like saying, hey, I'm messing up just like everybody else.
Right.
Sound check from Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel. Maps, my favorite album of the year so far.
I will not be at sound check. I will not be in the green room if it's too lit. Could be at the local Greasy Spoon or Szechuan establishment. Courtyard by Marriott bathroom, blowing marijuana through the vents. Shower on, weed sauna. I will not be at sound check, but I might check in to keep them honest. I reserve the right. Is it rap beef or is it on site? Talking out they teeth, don't even know what I look like. I think I'ma be alright. I'ma do the damn thing tonight. Please be advised, I will not be a sound check, not on your life. Just cut the mic on and kill the lights.
Night that on. Is sound check from the great Billy Woods working with Kenny Siegel on this album called Maps. It is a great, great record. Forget people are gonna say best hip hop record of the year so far.
One
For
of
me
best
it's the best
period.
Record of the year so far.
Very good record, Greg. Well, my number one record, Greg, is the record from Boy Genius. Okay, Alex Claiborne, we certainly understand why our producer loves this incredible trio of brilliant female singer-songwriters. I understand why my pal Eric and Jessica's high school daughter, like, what are they saying to a fat, punk rock, psychedelic 59-year-old, soon to be 59? You know, I said, all of these records in one way or another, wasn't intentional, I wasn't looking for a theme, are about dealing with being an adult. Now, that doesn't mean that you figured everything out. When we interviewed Boy Genius, all three members, they were impressed that I said, I think the whole key to understanding this record and really your collaboration is the line, when you don't know who you are, you mess around and find out, right? It's about self-discovery. Yeah. I haven't figured everything out. But you know what helps to figure things out? To find friends and kindred spirits who help you move through the world, who you know you can rely on, who you would do anything for, and that is returned in kind. It is beautiful songwriting. It is smart. It is intelligent. It is sometimes quiet and seductive and creeps up on you, like the best Joni Mitchell. Dare I say? Mm-hmm. And it is sometimes ferocious. That guitar riff in $20. Man, I love that. I absolutely love it. Three women who are all gay, three women who are all brilliant, three women who are friends, three women who have great careers on their own, who I think we paired our Boy Genius interview with a look at supergroups. You and I are generally against them. Very rarely do artists who have successful careers or bands on their own come together and get better. Only the women have pulled that off. Those two albums by Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, and Linda Ronstadt, the high women in the country world, and Boy Genius, who I love every bit as much, who deserve to be talked about on that level. You know, I was going to play $20 because guitar, Jim loves the fuzz, right? I'm going to play Not Strong Enough, Phoebe Bridgers' song for Alex, because I just love this look at not being able to show your partner everything they need, you know, and who can provide anybody in your life with everything they need? You just try to do the best you can. Here is Boy Genius, Not Strong Enough. The record is just called The Record. Not Strong Enough by Boy Genius from The Record. And that wraps up our best albums of the year so far. I hope we've given you a playlist with 12 great records to check out. We're going to have our whole top 10s on our website, soundopinions.org. You have a chance to get on top of at least what we think you should have been hearing so far in 2023. Then if you fall behind, we'll revisit the best albums of the year, period, at the end of the year. But, Mr. Cott, as always, we want to hear from people. What are your favorites so far in 2023? Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Where are we going next week?
Next week, we are going to do a deep dive into the music of Bill Withers. We're going to revisit our classic album dissection about Live at Carnegie Hall, which I would say is the top live album of all time, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I always loved Bill Withers' music, but I wasn't the super fan that you are until you forced me to become one.
There you go. See? I do good things. And,
yes.
And do not forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott.